Man, you would think this preaching thing gets easier. I don't know whether sometimes I don't think I'm so well prepared or whether it's a heavy word of God on my heart that I need to share with you. I'm not sure. I just pray that this morning, Holy Spirit, that the meditation of my mouth, the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart are pleasing unto you. And Lord, it's not about me. I'm not faithful, Lord, but you are. So I thank you, Father God, that everybody's hearts this morning are open, Lord. Open to hear your truth. Open to hear your word. Open to receive your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Has anybody heard of Gunther von Hagen? Anybody? Anybody in this congregation heard of Gunther von Hagen? Okay, don't worry, nor did I. I'd never heard of Gunther von Hagen before until I went to one of his exhibitions. I went to one of his exhibitions in London at a gallery in Brick Lane, London. That's London, UK. And that's basically, he's got an exhibition called Body Worlds. Body Worlds. And the title of our message today is Body World. Basically, Gunther von Hagen has pioneered a very unique technique, an innovation on, it actually, what he does is he halts the decay of a human body after death. So basically what he's done is he's made modern day mummies, but with modern day techniques. He takes like a plastic type chemical and he injects it into the remains of people to make them basically plasticize cadavers. Okay. Now, the unique thing about his exhibitions is that he dissects them and he opens them up and he shows you the muscle structure and the bone structure and the tendons and the inner works of the human body. But obviously it's quite controversial. And one of the controversial things is that one of his best friends is up on display, obviously dead. and there's a waiting list of apparently 5,000 names of people who want to be displayed in this public fashion. So anyway, I want to show you a couple of slides. But before you put the slides up, if you think you're a sensitive viewer, please close your eyes for 1 minute, okay? It's really not that bad, but I don't want any nightmares or any complaints afterwards. So for 1 minute, just close your eyes if you think you're a sensitive viewer. I want to show you some pictures of what I'm talking about. Okay, let's go. Okay, that's Dr. von Hagen himself, photograph of him with one of his plasticized mummies with playing football. What he does is he always tends to put the human beings, or well, the human being remains, in everyday situations. So let's see the next one. Yeah, we've got a chess player. As I said, he opens up the brain to show you the brain, and you've got all the muscle structure of someone who would be playing chess. Next one. Okay, that one's for Gerard and Roland. the guitar rocker. Basically, again, just showing the different muscle structures. Obviously, these things stand in an exhibition form, so you can walk all the way around them. This one's pretty scary. Pregnant lady with a fetus still in her womb. As I say, showing the internal works of the body. I think that's all I have. Is that right? Okay. You can go to the next slide or something, and you can open up your eyes if you're a sensitive viewer. Okay, if you can just turn the light back on. Okay, so the strange part of looking at this exhibition, especially when you're up close, is it actually feels like you're looking at a shop window mannequin. They don't really look real. I mean, you saw them. They don't really look that scary or real, do they? Yeah. But I had a bit of a revelation while I was there, because you go up close to these mannequins, and one of the particular pieces I remember, you could see the hair on the skin. You could see a tattoo on the skin of another one. So what really hit me. It brought me back to reality that these, as plasticized as they look, used to be living, breathing human beings. Now they were just a shell, an empty, useless shell. The physical body, as you know, is useless without a spirit. It's useless without a spirit. But have you ever thought about this? On this earth, your spirit is useless without a body. Have you ever thought about that? On this earth, your spirit is useless without a body. Now, I want to do a little exercise. You can sit exactly where you are. I want everybody to look your body up and down. Look up and down right now. I want you to look your body up and down. What do you see when you look at your body? The answer should be, I see fingers, I see hands, I see wrists, I see arms, I see a torso, I see legs, I see ankles, I see feet, I see a body. Do you see a body? Okay, you see a body. Now when God looks at your body, what do you think he sees? When God looks at your body, he doesn't see what you see. He doesn't see what you see. He doesn't see a nose, eyes, ears, a head. He doesn't see whether you're tall or short, fat or thin, bald. Although this is my winter coat. If you can see, it's kind of long these days. Bald or full head of hair. He doesn't see that kind of stuff. God doesn't see any of that. When God looks at your body, he sees two things. He sees a sacrifice and he sees a temple. Now, a sacrifice that needs to be put on an altar every single day, and a temple where he lives. Now, I'm going to elaborate on this, but before I do that, I just want to read out something. I couldn't find who wrote this, but it's so brilliant. This is how it goes. Even though God desires our worship to be spiritual, spiritual worship has to be given physical expression. I'm going to read that again. Even though God desires our worship to be spiritual, which obviously he does, spiritual worship has to be given physical expression. So just like Dr. Von Hagen's body exhibitions are useless shells without a spirit, so are spirits useless without a body. Okay. So if you want to be as healthy as you ought to be in worship, and strong as you ought to be in worship, and worship God the way God wants you to worship him, then you need to give your worship a full body workout. A full body workout. And our bodies should be wired for worship 24/7, every day, 24/7, our body should be wired for worship. This morning, I want to show you that the Bible has quite a lot to say about physical worship. And this message is specifically for followers of Christ. If you don't know Christ and you haven't invited him into your heart and life, it doesn't really apply to you. But you can still learn concepts. And there's three concepts that I want to share with you regarding physical worship. This is the first one. We are to sacrifice our bodies for God's holiness. We are to sacrifice our bodies for God's holiness. Now, I've got the scripture up here. It's Paul speaking in Romans 12:1. I'm reading from the NIV. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Now, I want to look carefully at that verse and highlight a couple of things for you. Notice Paul says, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. He does not say, offer your spirit as a living sacrifice. He doesn't say, offer your emotions as a living sacrifice. He doesn't say, offer your mind as a living sacrifice. No, he says we are to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. Now, why do you think God doesn't tell Paul to say, offer mind, emotions? Why do you think that? Remember, the spirit is impractical without a body on this earth. On this earth, your spirit is impractical without a body. You can't think about this. You can't even communicate. I wouldn't be able to speak to you right now without a body. We couldn't sing and worship God with a voice, with a mouth, and without a tongue. We couldn't have sung earlier on. We couldn't have worshipped God without that body. We can't even move. We wouldn't have been able to move here to get here to church today without a physical body. So it's incredibly important. But notice what Paul says. He doesn't want a dead sacrifice. He wants a living sacrifice. Now, it's interesting to note in the Old Testament that every time an animal was brought to sacrifice, they killed it. It ended up dead. Every sacrifice that was brought in the Old Testament to God ended up dead. But Paul is saying he wants a living sacrifice. He wants a living sacrifice. This means every day in your mind, when you wake up, you take your body and you put it on an imaginary altar and you say, Lord, my body for you. My body for you. We need to say this to God every single day. I understand that from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet belongs to you. My body belongs to you. My body is to live for you. My body is to worship you. God, do with my body what you will, not what I will. Next, let's look. Sacrifice, living sacrifice. I want to go back to the Old Testament. Just picture a sacrifice in the Old Testament. If they sacrificed a sheep or a lamb in the Old Testament, they didn't take a leg. They didn't take a leg and offer a leg. They sacrificed a total sacrifice. There was no such thing as a lamb chop sacrifice to God in the Old Testament. It was a complete and utter, a total sacrifice. And what does sacrifice mean? It means to give up all ownership. To give up all ownership. To give up all possession. That is the kind of sacrifice of our bodies that God is after. It is always a total and complete sacrifice. Okay, Paul then says that true and proper worship, let's read it again. To offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. This is true and proper worship. Amazing. I came across a beautiful and simple definition of worship, which I want to share with you so I can elaborate on. Worship is giving all that you are to all that God is. Worship. Giving all that you are to all that God is. In other words, you come to God and you say, here's everything. Here's everything I am. Here's my house. Here's my car. Here's my salary. Here's my marriage. Here's my children. Here's my family. Here's my shares. Here's my bonds. Here's my gold. Here's my silver. It's all yours, God. Take it all. All I have, I give to you. In fact, I give you everything, even the thing that you gave me when I came into this world, which is my body. I give my body to you too. Okay. So, that is true and proper worship, according to Paul. True and proper worship. That's the type of worship that Paul says God wants. So, that was our first one. We are to sacrifice our bodies for God's holiness. Okay, number two, it gets a bit deeper now. We are to see our bodies as God's house. We are to see our bodies as God's house. And to show you what I mean, I want you to read with me from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20. It'll be up on the screen. It says, do you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself. You do not belong to yourself. For God bought you with a high price. That's the high price of the blood of Jesus Christ. So you must honor God with your body. This is true for all believers in Christ. Again, you need to see your body as God sees it. You need to see your body as God sees it. I can't express it more. There's a huge difference to the way the world sees our body and the way God sees. If we want to look at the way Hollywood, for example, the epitome of the flesh, how does Hollywood look at your body? How sexy is it? How many muscles do you have? How ripped are you? How gorgeous are you? How tight are you? How young are you? That's the way Hollywood and the world looks at your body. But God does not look at us like that. Mm-mm. He doesn't see the eyes and the ears and the muscles and all that kind of thing. He sees a house. He sees a house. He sees a temple where he lives. Now let me ask you something. Why do you think Paul used the metaphor of a temple here? Again, we need to go back to the Old Testament. You'll find that the central institution in the Old Testament was the temple. It was the spiritual headquarters of Israel. If you wanted to meet God, where did you go? Where did you go? The temple. If you wanted to bring a need to God in the Old Testament, where did you go? The temple. If you wanted to worship God in the Old Testament, where did you go? The temple. If you wanted to talk to God, where did you go? The temple. The temple was the central institution, the spiritual headquarters of the nation of Israel. The temple was a place of worship. So what Paul is saying in the scripture, just as the temple in the Old Testament is a place of worship for the people of the Old Testament, today your body is the temple of God's Holy Spirit. The temple in the Old Testament served one purpose, worship. The temple, our temple, our bodies, in the New Testament serves one purpose, the same purpose as in the Old Testament, worship. Now, the fundamental difference between Old Testament times and New Testament times is the following. In the Old Testament, God had a temple for his people. God had a temple for his people. In the New Testament, God has a people for his temple. Do you get that? He has a people for his temple. So in the Old Testament, God's address was, and place of residence, was the temple. In the New Testament, it's not 7 Lambrecht Avenue. God's address and place of residence is not 7 Lambrecht Avenue, Franschhoek. It's Yannia Kavalos. It's Francois Leroux. It's Anita Vessels. It's Theo Bayers. It's Kata Kavalos at the back. It's Ardell. It's you and me, my brothers and sisters. That's the address of God. M. Warren. Can you fly? There we go. M.A.C. Warren. He says this. God meets me everywhere, or I never meet him. If I think I meet him only in the Bible and sacrament and in Christian fellowship, then I do not know who it is I meet. So our bodies are to be a temple of the Holy Spirit, where he lives every day, all day. But there tends to be two extreme types of people when they look at their body. And I'm smiling because I'm about to look at Theo Bayers here, because he runs the Franschhoek gym, for those of you who don't know it. But anyway, some people ignore their bodies completely. They eat what they want to eat. They drink what they want to drink. They smoke what they want to smoke. They don't exercise. In fact, they just let themselves go. Now, there's some serious health implications in this verse that Paul is saying. He's saying, if this body here is the home of God, his temple, then we should treat it with respect. We should treat it with respect and not abuse it. We should make our body as healthy as we can. We should make our body as strong as we can. Not just to live longer, and not just to live healthier, but to live holier. To live holier. And to fight. Be fighting fit for the kingdom. On the other hand, there's some exercise freaks. There's some exercise freak. You run, you pump iron, you take the vitamins, you eat the wheat germ, you have the power nutrient super power protein smoothie, whatever they're called. You're ripped. You've got a six-pack. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that at all. But many times, people idolize their bodies and we ignore our spirits. We may miss church, but we won't miss the gym. We may not read our Bible, but we'll get that cardio in. We may not feed on the Word of God, but we will eat our vegetables and our protein. What I'm trying to make you understand is that we are not meant to worship our bodies as God, but use our bodies to worship God. I don't know if you remember, a few weeks ago, Kat was sharing a message here where she spoke about the temple and the different rooms in the temple. There was the outer court, remember, and then the inner court, and then there was the Holy of Holies. So that's the Old Testament temple. We're talking about the New Testament temple now, which is our body. So just as there were different parts of the temple, different rooms in the temple, so our body has different parts. And we should worship God with all parts of our body. Now, I want to read three examples of body worship from the Psalms. Start at Psalm 47:1. Clap your hands, all people. Shout to God with loud songs of joy. You need your mouth and your vocal cords and your hands. Hands to clap, mouth, vocal cords, tongue to shout loud. Psalm 95:6. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. That's bow down your body. Bow down. Let us kneel. That's kneel on your knees before our Lord and Maker. Psalm 134:2. Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. To lift up your hands, you've got to use your shoulders. You've got to use your upper arms. You've got to use your lats. Is that right there? Just lift up your hands. you've got to use your body. Your body. You'll read it over and over and over and over again in the Bible. That God wants you to use your body to worship Him. Your whole body. Not just your mind. Not just your heart. Not just your spirit. Your body to worship Him. Now God expects you when you walk in here to worship Him. That's what He expects. So who should sing? Everyone should sing. Who should clap their hands? Everybody should clap their hands. Okay, if you're not comfortable lifting your arms to the Lord, don't look down on people who do lift their arms to the Lord. Remember where God lives. It's not 7 Lumbricht Avenue. It's me. He lives in me and He lives in you. All of you. Now, sometimes I get the feeling that people walk out that back door at 11 o'clock on Sunday and kind of say, cheers, God. See you next week. See you next week. And they kind of return here the following Sunday to meet God. What I'm trying to say is, it's almost like a church face. You come in with a church face on Sunday. You do what you think needs to be done. And then you walk out the door at 11 o'clock on Sunday and you act completely different when you're out there. That's not what God wants. I think He gets quite frustrated with that, actually. My brothers and sisters, if you are a follower of Christ, you take God with you. Wherever you are, wherever you go, your body is a place of worship 24/7. 24/7. It's important that you understand the first two points, and I'm just going to repeat them. Sacrifice our body for God's honor. That was one. Number two, we see our bodies as His house. We see our bodies as His house. Number three, the last point. Does everyone get the first two? Okay. Third point, the last one. I should surrender my body for God's honor. Now let's go back to an earlier verse I flighted. That's the 1 Corinthians chapter 6:19-20. You, Paul is talking about your body here. You do not belong to yourself. For God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. You should be in an act of honoring God with your body, worshiping Him all the time. You should be conscious of your body being a sacrifice. Yes, your body is skin and bones and muscles and sinew, as Dr. Van Hagen showed us, but it's also God's house. Everything from the tip of your head down to the bottom of your feet should be surrendered to God. Everything was created for a purpose. Everything. You and me were created for a purpose. Isaiah 43:7 says, "Everyone who is called by my name, I have created for my glory." You were not put on this earth primarily to make money or to see what kind of house you're going to live in, what kind of car you're going to drive, or to climb the corporate ladder, or attain awards. That's not why your primary reason of being put on this earth. You're put on this earth primarily, as the scripture says, to glorify the God who made you. To glorify the God who made you. And the way you do that is by letting your body be a place of worship 24/7. Every day. All day. My body is not my body. It belongs to God. My body is to be placed on an altar as I get up each day. Place it on that imaginary altar. My body is to be surrendered to the glory of God. Now, I'd like you to understand the implication this has for your life about your body. Let me explain this implication by way of example. Now, you've heard people say, "I can do anything to my body as long as I don't hurt anybody else." Have you heard people say that? "I can do anything I want as long as I don't hurt anybody else." Well, that's so wrong, because it's not your body. It's God's body. If two consenting adults of legal age have sex out of wedlock, that's wrong. For one reason, because it's not your body. It's not your body. You cannot sleep who you want to sleep with. You cannot eat what you want to eat. You cannot drink whatever you feel like, because it's not your body. And that's not what I'm saying. That's what God's saying. It's not what Yanni decided to say to you. That's what God says in the scriptures. It's not your body. So let me ask you something. What does it mean for the movies that I let my eyes see? What does it mean for the music that I let my ears hear? What does it mean for the words that I let come out of my mouth? What does it mean about the food and the drink that I let enter into my body? What does that mean? Now, I'm not here to be your policeman or your judge. I'm not. You ask yourself those questions. Go and ask God those questions. If you believe what the Bible says, and the Bible says that one day you are going to stand before God and give an account of your actions on this earth, in this body, ponder those questions. Paul goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 10:31, it's up there as well, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." That is, everything you say with your lips, everything you see with your eyes, everything you hear with your ears, everything you taste with your mouth, everything you do with your hands, it's to bring glory and honor to God, our Creator. Let's put it another way. Every week you have a choice. You have a choice whether you come to church or not. Every week you can come or you don't come. It's your choice. However, 7 days a week, you do not get a choice whether you're going to worship or not. You do not get a choice whether you're going to worship or not. Because everybody in this room, everybody on this planet worships something, some way, every day. Hugh Hefner, owner of Playboy magazine, he worships something. Donald Trump, rich property developer in the US, he worships something every day. So you don't have a choice. You worship someone or something every single day. So my brothers and sisters, I want you to listen very carefully to what I'm about to say. If you get anything out of today's message, get the following this morning, please. Worship is not an event, it's a lifestyle. Worship is not an event, it's a lifestyle. It's not something you do at 9 o'clock on Sunday. It's something you do every day of the week. It's not something you do in the four walls of the sanctuary. It's something that you do in your everyday life, every day. It's not something you do in a holy hour on a Sunday, in here. Because if you understand what I'm saying and what Paul is telling us God is saying, every hour of your life is a holy hour of worship. Let's put this in perspective. I'm almost done now. This is my final thing. Let's put it all into perspective. I'm going to put it in perspective by way of an illustration. Say I get up here and I use the most filthy, obscene, vulgar language that you can possibly think of. Swearing like you've never heard before, right here from this pulpit, over the mic to you. Say I did that right now. Even if it was to make a point, how would you react? You'd be offended. You'd be offended. Some of you may walk out the door. Some of you may say that I have no right to speak at this pulpit and should be removed as pastor of this church. And you would be right. Do you agree with that? Do you agree with that? Is there anybody who doesn't agree with that? Okay, I agree with that too. I agree with that. But then you and I will watch a movie and we will hear the most crude swearing possible. We will hear the Lord's name in vain used 15 times. We will see the most explicit sex scenes you can possibly see, verging on the point of pornographic. And you think it's okay. We think it's okay. Because it's a theater or because it's your TV screen at home. You say, but it's not a place of worship. It's worse than that. You are a place of worship. You are a place of worship. That's the point. You take your worship wherever you go. You are a place of worship. Worship is not an event. It's a lifestyle. Please stand with me this morning. I'm going to just finish off with some valid questions that may have been raised this morning. And maybe you need to ask yourself these questions. Are my hands doing what they should be doing? Am I allowing my eyes to look at things they should not? What words are coming out of my mouth? Are my feet steering me in the right direction? Do I keep my mind for only those things that are pure and holy? Father God, we come to you this morning, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, for revealing your truth into our lives. Father, we know that our body is so important to you, but not only in this life, Lord, also the next. Your word tells us that when we eventually reach eternity with you, you will give us a new heavenly body that does not need food, it doesn't need water, it doesn't need doctors. Lord, it's going to be something perfect as you make us. Father, I just thank you that this morning, Lord, your Holy Spirit has convicted people where they need to be convicted. Lord, I know while I was writing this message, Lord, you convicted me. And Lord, I know that your Son Jesus knows what it's like to walk in the flesh, in a body on this earth, He came here to understand us completely, Lord, to show us the way. Lord Jesus, you understand the temptation of this world. You understand the temptation of this flesh. But I thank you. I thank you by the power of the Holy Spirit this morning and in the name of Jesus Christ that you impart to us, Lord, how holy and precious our bodies are and that we are to watch, keep guard of this temple, the temple of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father God, that you will make us so aware in this coming week, Lord, of the things that we watch, the things that we hear, the things that we eat, the things that we drink. And Lord, most of all, that we use our bodies to worship you, Lord. We use our hands to pick up the Bible, our eyes to read the words on the page, our brains to compute what you are telling us, Lord. I thank you, Father God, that you will take our feet and cross it with paths of people who need to hear your truth this week, Father. Supernaturally take our feet to the place where you are needed and again use our hands, use our mouths, use our hearts to love people, Lord. We thank you, Father, that you are here right now, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you. We love our bodies, Lord, because we can worship you with them. And Lord, we thank you that worship is not an event. It's a lifestyle. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.